Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, be finding verse 1. And if you can, please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word here this morning. I don't know how often you read this passage. I don't know when the last time you thought of yourself as a child. After all, many of us in here are adults. Some of us are on up there adults. Some of us are middle-aged adults, and some of us are younger adults, but we are all children of the living God. Amen? And so this morning, we need to hear this passage again. Children, that's us. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for the privilege to be alive, to be on this side of the grass this morning, to have the heart's desire that you have placed within us to come into the house of the living God. Father, we thank you for those who are joining us online this morning, and we pray for them as well as they listen to this message and as we listen to this message here. Lord, there are those today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, as always, we are praying for souls for the kingdom. Hell is going to be an awful place. It will not be the party the world makes it out to be. We need to become a child of the living God. Lord, this morning as your message is preached, would you awaken us with a new desire, a holy fervor, to be certain that our hearts are right. But Lord, as we listen to this message, may you lay upon our hearts those who have not yet come to Christ, those whom we know, and may we be praying throughout this message that they might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for those of us who, Lord, we need to be revived. Too much busyness in life. And Lord, we're trying to fit you into a compartment just like our job or some other thing. And Lord, we need to be encompassed by all of you. Lord, would you remove from us those things that we have done that have compartmentalized you in our lives. Lord, we ask for your mercy and your grace as we speak, for we know that your word never goes out void. And we know one thing, people need the Lord. We need to be revived, we need to be strengthened. We need to have a more intimate knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, would you move among us today? In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. You can begin turning in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 28:9. That is going to be the focal point of our message this morning. But in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, God gave as one of his 10 commandments the commandment to honor thy father and mother. This is what he said, Exodus 20 and 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, when I think about this, and I think about the homes in many of the places in America today, when I search the Holy Scriptures, I'm reminded of the words that David, the man after God's own heart, gave to his son Solomon, and they're found in 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is what David wrote for Solomon and for us. And I think perhaps no greater parental advice could ever be given. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him. He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I wonder what would happen if we read that verse and you put your name in there this way. And thou, your name, my son, my daughter. Know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. There are here in these words from God through David to Solomon to us five principles that are given to guide him as he moves through life. The first of those principles is this: get to know God personally. Second, learn God's commands and discover what he wants you to do. Third, worship God with a perfect heart. Four, serve God with a willing mind. And five, be faithful. Well, let's take up the first point. Get to know God personally. David's great concern for his son was that he got to know God personally. I want to share with you this morning that God's great concern for each and every one of us is that we would know our Creator, our Father, our God personally. Not just have some casual knowledge out of him, not just have some type of head knowledge of him, but that we would know the power of the living God in our heart such as we have never known it before. Many people today wonder, why should we want to get to know God personally? And I can think of several reasons. First, you are here. You have a life because you have a Creator. God created you. God protected you. God sustained you. And God brought you forth from the womb. And God brought you into this world. You have a Creator. Without him, you would not exist. You would not have a life. And David understood this because David also penned in Psalm 139, in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You are here because God thought of you. I want you to think about that. It'll blow your mind if you really take the time to think about that. I mean, the world and the billions of people who have been in this world, but the Bible tells us that God wrote the end from the beginning, and therefore God saw the generation. He knew the time that you would come. You are here today because God thought of you. Hallelujah. David knew he had a Creator. What's more, David knew he needed a Redeemer. You see, David had been born just like us. He'd been born a sinner. He'd failed God. You know what that's like, don't you? I know what that's like. We have all failed God at some point in our lives. We are all on even ground. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God looked down from heaven on high and he said, I can't leave him in this state. And so God gave a Redeemer and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He said in Psalm 51:5, David, he loved to pen Psalms. He loved to write to God. He thought of God often, and I hope that you think of God often. And David wrote, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And David wanted his son to know these things, but more importantly, God wants us to know these things. Why does God want us to know these things? And why did David want Solomon to know these things? So that Solomon would both see and not neglect his need to know God personally. We have a heavenly Father. And as a church, we are his children. And as his children, we are to honor our Father. We have no capacity to honor our father or our mothers here upon this earth if we have not learned to honor our Heavenly Father. That's why every parent needs to be certain they are bringing their child up in the nurture and the admonition of God's holy word. If parents do not do that, there is no capacity for, no foundation for, no hope that your home will be a strong Christian home. When I think about that, I think you might agree that one of the reasons that our nation is in the shape that it is in today is because too many parents are not concerned enough for themselves or for their children that they get to know God. Listen to me, it goes beyond just coming forward and praying a prayer. It goes beyond being baptized. It goes beyond joining a church. Friend, if all we do it is for that reason, to think we're good and that's all we need to do, that's just a ritual. God is not interested in rituals. God wants us to know Him personally. Does your life give evidence of the transforming work that only God's grace can give? In today's world, there are many who claim they know God because they followed or performed some ritual. That's all it was to them. It was just a ritual. But there is no evidence. There's no fruit. There's no visible evidence of any type of transformation that has ever taken place in their life. Jesus said as much when he said in Matthew 7:21 through 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." How can that be? After all, I went forward in church. After all, I was baptized. After all, I was on the church membership roll. And Jesus is preaching and he's saying unto us, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I want you to picture this. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Listen to me. We have parents today who, as soon as their child goes through the rituals, claim they've got it taken care of. "I know my child's going to heaven, so I don't need to be in church anymore." I've heard that more times than I can count as a pastor. They're good to go. They're saved. They think all their child needed to do, they've done all they need to do, is taken care of. We don't need to know anymore about God. And they stop doing what God would have them do. And you know, it's not too long. Their family's in trouble. It's not too long before children are disobeying God. It's not too long before their children no longer want to go to God's house. When they were young, they wanted to go. Now they're a little bit older, now they don't want to go. Why? Because that child's parents stopped being obedient. They stopped honoring their Heavenly Father. They stopped desiring to know God. And I want to know this morning, do you have a desire to know God? Is there a fire burning in your belly? Is there a fire burning in your heart? Do you want to know God more than you do right now? To know God, what does it mean? It means that you honor Him as your Heavenly Father. To know God means that you are seeking to be part of a strong Christian home, a strong church house, in order that you are capable of building your home on the foundation of God's word. Listen to what Jesus said. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of that. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time we thought of this? Is mine, is yours, a strong Christian home? Not if parents are not seeking to get to know God. Not if parents are not growing spiritually. Not if parents are not teaching by word and action that God comes first before all else. And that's biblical, friend. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think about these things. And one day, parents are going to find themselves on one side of Jesus' word or the other. Either they will have built their lives and their homes on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his word, or their homes will come crashing down, beat by the winds, the waves, and the floods that come. But understand this, the winds, the waves, and the floods, hey, they come to every home, amen? But the home that stands in the midst of the storms is the one that's built on the solid foundation of God's word, the blessed rock that is Jesus Christ. And those that aren't will come crashing down. Say, how do you know that's true? Well, I've been a pastor for 25 years. And there have been many a time when I've sat with a heartbroken parent crying at the disobedience of their children, wondering how such a thing could have happened. When life hits, will your home stand? We can say life happens, amen. I think we all agree on that. Will your home be standing when life happens? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you seeking to know him more day by day? Second thing David told Solomon was, learn God's commands and discover what he wants you to do. And I think about that. Do you realize if we're going to learn God's commands and discover what he wants us to do, we've got to be willing, we've got to be teachable. God's will for our life is found in God's word. You will not discover God's will for your life apart from God's word. You've got to be willing to be a doer of God's word. And yet, sadly, far too many today want a smorgasbord God. They want a God where they can pick and choose what they want. They want a God where they can pick and choose when they'll need him. They want a God where they can tell him, you can sit this one out. Friend, that's not the kind of God he is. You've got to be willing to be the kind of person who will follow God single-heartedly. You see, God is looking for people he can partner with in impacting a lost world. God's purpose in creating you, we've talked about this, is so that you could bring him glory. And the way we bring him glory is to learn God's commands and discover what he wants us to do. Listen, God wants us to declare our allegiance to him above all else. We know the commandments, don't we? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. We know it. Do you realize that God has something to say in his word on every subject and every issue that confronts us right now as a culture in this world and in our personal lives? God has made that clear to us throughout His holy word. A strong Christian home must have the word of God at its core. A strong Christian church must stand on the foundation of God's word, and few would dispute that. I bet if we ask that as a question, everybody shout amen, brother, preach it. Why then do so many people who would shout amen to a church standing on God's word think that they can live and run their home apart from it? Many church homes and many homes are in great need today. And if we're going to make a difference by bringing healing, if we're going to make a difference by being a forgiving person, such as Charlotte taught the children in the children's church, if we're going to be a people of oneness, a people of justice and righteousness, and we're going to take that into a broken church home where life has happened among its people, you realize in this church house there's people that hurt. Out there in the streets, there's people that hurt. And what they need is healing. What they need is oneness. What they need is justice. What they need is righteousness. What they may need is forgiveness. And if we're going to be the people that do that, we must first get our own lives together and commit that we will obey the Lord our God. Now, we may have made some mistakes in the past. We may have tried to pick and choose when it comes to obedience. But we can start right now to make a better tomorrow by declaring our intention to serve God in everything we do and say right here today. In a few moments, you'll have that opportunity. Why would any church or any home want to settle for a cafeteria God when we can have the full meal deal? I ask you, what needs to change in your life so that you can learn God's command? Some of us have been in church all our life. And you know what happens when you've been going to church all your life? I heard that before. I know what I believe. I'm good. Does that sound like a heart that's teachable to you? Some of us need to get revived. Some of us have closed our ears and closed our hearts. What needs to change so that you can learn God's commands? But more importantly, what needs to change in your life so that you can move from being a hearer only, deceiving your own self, to being a doer of the word? Then David wanted Solomon to know, learn to worship God with a perfect heart. You know, it's time to quit making excuses. Excuses is one of the reasons why our nation does not have strong Christian homes. Perhaps you didn't have a good beginning upon what you could build. Maybe your parents fought. Maybe your parents divorced early on. Maybe you didn't come from a nice neighborhood. Maybe you didn't grow up where a school system whose funding indicated that they took your education and your future seriously. Maybe you are here this morning, you had to raise yourself. Maybe your mom worked three jobs because your dad was never around. Maybe you lived in a home where you were abused, neglected, or pacified with stuff. Maybe you never experienced a loving relationship at home. Whatever the case, we need to know something. Where we start has nothing to do with where we finish. Where we start has nothing to do with where we finish. After all, Jesus started out in an obscure town named Nazareth. Jesus came from this no-name place. And since Jesus came from this no-name place, he can meet anyone in any place at any time, even when their life seemed worthless. He can turn your life around and he can set you on your feet if you will just look to Jesus Christ from Nazareth. You can look to Jesus who came from no hope, no opportunity, and no way out. There is no more room for excuses like if it weren't for him or if it weren't for them or if it weren't for my background or if it weren't for my circumstance, if it weren't for my limitations. All that is real. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the one from Nazareth, there is power to pick you up and to lift you up. And you don't need to be running around whining on excuses anymore. You can get up in the name of Jesus. You can dust yourself off in the name of Jesus. You can walk in the name of Jesus. You can be responsible in the name of Jesus. You can no longer see yourself as a victim in the name of Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus Christ has made you an overcomer. There is power in the King of Kings and in the Lord of Lords. There is power in the Alpha and the Omega. There is power in Almighty God. Nothing is impossible for him. And as you look at your life right now, you may think impossible, impossible, impossible. There is a God in heaven who has all things are possible in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen to what God's word says. When you understand who Jesus is, you can begin to worship him with a perfect heart, and it don't mean a thing about what you've done in your past. There is a God in heaven who forgave you when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, come as you are, but I am not going to leave you where you are. I am going to pick you up, and I am taking you to higher ground. Don't worry about what those old cranky people down there think about you. It don't matter what people think about you. It only matters what I think about you. And I'm about ready to lift you up and put you on higher ground. That's where I'm taking you, because there is hope in Jesus Christ, and faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I am so glad that we can have faith in a Savior who can do anything. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Oh, when you get to know God personally, when you learn God's commands, and when you do what he wants you to do, your life is a worship service that stems from a perfect heart each and every day, because there is someone who lives inside of you. His name is Jesus, and he lives in you in the power and the strength of his Holy Spirit, that you and I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. You have the capacity now to have a strong Christian home. And then David wanted Solomon to know, serve God with a willing mind and to be faithful. These two go hand in hand. You will never have the capacity to be faithful if you are not willing to serve God with a willing mind. What does a willing mind look like? It means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind. It means whatever God asks of you, you do, because the King of Kings is asking you. And he has equipped you, and he has talented you, and he has gifted you, and he will give you the power to do what he has asked you to do. You know, I'm so glad God likes variety. Could you imagine having a whole world full of me? I'm so glad God likes variety. And that's why he gives to every church characters. And boy, I tell you, we got some characters in this church. Characters who have life experiences and characters who have stories that can help create and maintain a strong Christian church. Characters whose lives, though not perfect, and marred by mistakes. Can help create a strong Christian church when we look on one another with love, when we see one another as Jesus sees us, uniquely gifted, uniquely talented, no two alike, but yet all in the body of Christ. And God has brought us here, and God has brought us together, and we all different say hallelujah. I'm so glad we don't have a church full of me. What about you? Listen, in our church, we got characters whom God wants to use to help shape a community. We got characters whom God wants to use to help out the weak. We got characters who God wants to use to comfort the sick. And we got characters whom God wants to use to go out and reach the lost. And yet, the prevailing attitude that happens when you've been a Christian for a long time, or you've been in church for a long time, and we get a little bit weary, say amen. You know I said that right. And the Bible tells us, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you heap not. But here's the prevailing attitude when it comes to service and faithfulness. It can be summed up like this. Oh, the preacher's preaching. He says, and you shout out, go where you want me to go, dear Lord. A real service is what I desire. Oh, Lord, I want to be used by you. I'll sing you a solo anytime, dear Lord. Just don't ask me to sing in no choir. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass. But don't ask me to teach boys and girls, oh Lord. I'd rather just sit in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I yearn for the kingdom to thrive. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord. Just don't ask me to tithe. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll help you some other day. Is it any wonder so many church homes and so many of our homes are no longer strong Christian homes? How did we move from God first to us first? How did we move to compartmentalizing God for a Sunday morning to just being about me the rest of the week? What happened? Everything starts at home, doesn't it? People love to say, home is where the heart is. But let me ask you a question this morning. Is your home where God's heart is? Are you honoring your heavenly Father by getting to know Him? By learning His commands and discovering what He wants you to do? By worshiping Him with a perfect heart? By serving Him with a willing mind. Would God say, you're faithful? How would God answer those questions when it comes to your life? How would God answer those questions when it comes to this church? I think about so many things. What would God say about you? What would God say about your home, your heart, my heart? What is God going to say? Would God be able to say that your home is a strong Christian home, that your family of which you are a part, father, mother, son, or daughter? Are you as a parent or parents seeking to build your home on these five foundational blocks given to us in God's Word? Have you ever stopped to think about this? As God looks into your home, what does he see? Is he being honored in your home? Could God say of your home, it is a strong Christian home? What about the church? Are we in this house honoring God? As members one of another, are we giving our all to get to know him? Are we learning his commands and discovering what he wants us to do? Are we worshiping him with a perfect heart? We got our eyes on Jesus. Are we serving him with a willing mind? Are we faithful? You see, we are the body of Christ. And we have a heavenly Father. And we're to honor our heavenly Father. And we need to be encouraging one another because life is tough. Amen. I don't know if you've discovered that yet, but I've discovered it. Have you discovered it? Amen. How many of you, by a raised hand this morning, would say, life is tough? How many of you shout out, life is tough? Life is tough. Amen. We need to encourage one another. We need to support one another. Listen, sometime I'm going to fall down. I'm so thankful Denny runs around town working on my reputation. I'm so thankful he'll pick me up someday. There's times I get discouraged. I just call Denny. He makes me laugh. I feel better. We need to be loving one another. We need to be serving one another so that God can work among us. So we can go change our community. So we can help one another in this home and in our homes. Now I think about so many things. We've got young moms, single moms, divorced moms, divorced dads. And God's given us some stories. Some of y'all been there. We got people who've lost loved ones. We got people who need help. God's given you some life experiences. What for? So that you can take your life experience and you can go help a brother or sister in Christ and lift them up. Pray for them. Help them. Encourage them. Support them. Home is where the heart is. Isn't that true? Home is where the heart is. And when God's in the heart, there's nothing you can't do. Because our God can do the impossible. I'm so thankful there's a Savior named Jesus. I'm so thankful. I hope you are too. Somebody say amen. Father God, we just thank you for your word unto us this morning. And Lord, as always, we make this impassioned plea. If you are lost this morning, you need to get that settled today. No man knows the day or hour. Do not be a gambler. I cannot stress that enough. Do not gamble with your life. Every gambler loses. Don't lose the most precious thing that God ever gave you, which is the very life that you have. If you're living and breathing this morning and you are lost and without Christ, you need to come and pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if up till now all you've done is treat that thing where you prayed, you went forward in a church service, you got baptized, you got on a membership roll, but it was nothing more than just a ritual, but you've never been living for Christ, you can change that today. You can take that ritual and turn it into reality. All you need to do is come and give your heart to Jesus and give yourself to him. You may be here this morning, and your life right now is a mess. But there is a God in heaven and he brought you here this morning, or he brought you online this morning, it's because he wants you to know there is a God in heaven who will help you. There are people who will love you, but more importantly, God loves you. And you need to just come to him today. Lord gives me a message to preach and preach it I have, but Lord knows what he wants to do with it. And I pray that you would receive the word of God this morning such as you've never received it before. And that it would encourage you, and that it would strengthen you, and it would give you hope. And that you would go out and give hope, encouragement, and help to others. Lord, as we get ready to sing this invitational song, there may be somebody listening online or somebody here in this church this morning who has never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And friend, if that describes you this morning, I'm going to lead a prayer. You pray it with sincerity from your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner in need of your amazing grace. And Lord, this morning I come to you. And Lord, I am repenting of my sin. And right now I am placing my faith and my trust in you. Lord Jesus, I am asking you to grant me your so great salvation. Forgive me of my sins. My heart is yours. Lord, right now I am turning from sin and turning to you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're picking up your books and standing, getting ready to sing, if you're online this morning, there's ways in which you can contact us. You please contact us. We want to get a Bible into your hands. We want to be praying for you. Friends, let's stand and let's sing. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, you come.